you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Believe You Me with myself, Michael Bisping, and the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez, live from New York.
What up, baby boy? I'm chilling.
What up? Good, good. Where were you at the weekend? I saw you flying. Where were you? Were you in Houston?
I first went to Fort Worth, Texas. We did some shows, me and Big J, and then I went down to Houston, drove down 4 hours. Did another night in Houston just by myself. Love Texas. I really do like Texas. And they say everything's bigger in Texas. It's not that everything's bigger in Texas. It's everything. There's just a waste of space in Texas. I figured out the homeless situation. Send all the homeless people to Texas. Those motherfuckers got so much. Every parking lot is 10 times the size of a parking lot anywhere else. Every building. If you go to just simply a Chili's, every table is massive. It's huge. Have you been to Texas a bunch?
I haven't been there a bunch. I was just down there recently. Where was I? I was down somewhere. It was McAllen, Texas, where all the trouble is going on. I was down there just recently. And it's funny, you want to send all the homeless from the north of America down to McAllen, Texas. And then there's apparently, according to Donald Trump, rapists and murderers coming over the border. So basically, you just want to give Texas a lot of problems. All the homeless, all the rapists, all the murderers, all the criminals. Just send them all to Texas.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good idea. I went to a restaurant, and it had to be like 10,000 square feet. It was a normal burger joint. I was like, you can just cut half this place off. You didn't need all that extra space. Probably house 100 homeless people easily.
Yeah, but they want to use that as a restaurant space. There's a lot of places everywhere where the space could be utilized for something else, but they pay rent on that building. They want to use it for a restaurant. I get that, you know, oh, it was empty, so send a bunch of homeless down there, but I'm sure the owners of the restaurant would feel a little differently about it.
Waste none, want none. I mean, look, they're pushing all of these anti-plastic laws on us, and, you know, everyone's got to drink out of a paper straw. And, you know, I'm saying we could probably not waste the space and at the same time clear up the homeless situation in cities that matter.
Well, listen, I'm all for helping homeless people, 100%.
It's not about helping homeless people. This is about helping us.
Well, that's not very nice. I want to help the homeless. I want to help people generally, period. Simple as that. I'm just not sure, you know, picking out empty buildings or where the space and sending homeless people there is the answer. I don't think it is the answer, but I want to go back to something you just touched on. You scoffed at the thought of reducing single-use plastics, which I think is a big, big problem for this country right now. Oh, no, sorry, pardon me, not for the country, for the world. The world is in turmoil, and we are going to be overrun by plastics at some point if we continue like this. We need to slow down. Don't scoff at the single-use plastic restriction, Lewis.
Well, it's just that, I mean, I'm not scoffing at the single-use plastic thing. I mean, like, I get it. Here's what I'm going to scoff at, very realistically.
Scoff.
I don't know what Michael Bisping's angle is here. There's something going on that we don't know about behind the scenes, because this whole I am fixing the world angle, and I want to help the world, and I want to help homeless people, and I want to help the plastics, and I want to help the sea turtles and straws and minnows from you. You're not a good person. You're a bad person. You're just the same shithead as I am. You cannot pretend to be this fucking great dude. You are who you are.
Whoa. Hold on a minute. I'm not saying I'm Mother Teresa or anything like that, but I do recognize that certain things, a few little small changes will lead to big differences, okay? Number one, the plastic situation has got to be taken control of, right? Everything's wrapped in plastic. Excuse me. Everything's wrapped in plastic when there's no need to be. That plastic will be around there for 500-600-700 years time, long before we're all dead and buried. Where do you think that plastic's going to be? It's still going to be here on planet Earth. Okay, that's it. That's it. Rant over. That's all it was. You scoffed at it, and I just said, hold on a minute. I don't agree with that. I think the single-use plastic does need restricting, and it needs to start being used. Also, wanting to help homeless. Again, I'm not pretending to be Mother Teresa here. I'm just saying I show a little compassion for those people less fortunate than me. I'm not trying to make out like I'm this saint, trying to make out that, you know, I need some kind of award to go with my vast collection of awards in the background. I mean, I got the best Segway in podcast history trophy that finally made it here. I'll show you that in a minute. I'll give you the grand unveiling. But what's wrong with wanting to help people, Lewis? I don't get it.
Because it's a lie. You're living a lie. You're not a humanitarian. You are a fucking a brash, idiotic, angry ex-cage fighter. With a short temper, might I add. If you would hear him at the beginning of every show screaming fuck into the air, and then we go into the air, he's like, well, I was just thinking about how the earth needs to be protected from all the baby turtles that are being killed by straws. Like, shut up. You eat pork. You drink. You party. You scumbag. I'm sick of it.
I don't eat pork. I ate turkey bacon this morning. Turkey bacon. 5 rashers.
Well, you know what? You're not very nice to turkeys.
Fuck turkeys.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Birds are evil. Birds have no compassion. Are they cold-blooded or warm-blooded? I'm not sure, but they seem like they'd be cold-blooded. They don't seem to have compassion. They don't have emotion. Listen, I've got no problem eating a bird, especially a delicious bird like turkey. It's their fault for being so goddamn delicious.
That is true.
Right now, we are officially from yesterday. We're going to try being vegetarians for a little bit, just for a little bit. And you're trying to mock. You're trying to mock. Well, no. A vegan mammarian. No, whatever. We just don't want to eat mammals, okay? Birds and fish. I don't know what you call that. I don't know if there's a name for
it. Is pescatarian just fish or is it poultry?
It's fish. Yeah. It's fish. Pescatarian, pesky, fish.
Got it.
Yeah. Anyway, but listen, don't scoff at me. Don't scoff.
I'm not scoffing at you. I'm just saying that I think the it's got to be very nice, because this is what happens, okay? They're living in the half mansion, okay? They're counting the extra bucks they saved from trading the Maserati in for their other car. So they got a little bit of extra cash just to throw around, do whatever they want. They're bored. They got nothing else going on. They're just so bored. They're like, you know what? Every other week, they change their lifestyle. The Bispings, as a couple, every other week, they have a midlife crisis, and they're doing some new thing with their life. And I've never seen you stick to any of these things.
Well, hold on a minute. Listen, at least the good intention is there. That's half the battle. Recognizing a problem, wanting to fix the problem, and putting in a little bit of effort. Listen, I've never said I'm the best at sticking at things. And I am a little, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm a little, you know, I'm all over the place. But I do want to help the world. I do want to help the planet. I do want to eat less meat. Okay, I want to live a healthier lifestyle. What is wrong with that? At least wanting to be like that rather than being oblivious to all the problems and being ignorant. I think that's a better way to be, Lewis, than yourself. And just because I work my ass off and I'm able to live in a nice house, I don't feel like that should be thrown in my face constantly. I busted my fucking ass for the luxuries that I have. I work very hard. In fact, I still continue to work very hard. When I stop this, I'm researching for commentating the Contender tomorrow. Then I jump on a plane Wednesday morning. I get back to the airport midnight on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. Do the math. That's 6 hours of sleep, but I've got to pack. I'll be flying to China. China, LAX to Beijing, 3 hours layover, and then a 4-hour flight to Shenzhen.
Hey, you know what? It's been at least a year since you saw the Bispings, so maybe, you know, stop patting yourself on the back for visiting your family once a year.
I'm a very busy man. I told those little bastards, you know, that's all I can make it out there, guys. My God, relax. No, all right, so listen. What are we talking about?
Really quick, let me ask you, because there's a couple things. We're going to get into it. It's a kind of a light MMA news day, so we're going to talk a little bit MMA on today's show, but I have a couple things non-MMA related to ask you.
Please.
And we are getting another episode in later in the week for sure. We're going to declare that now. The same way Michael Bisping is declaring that he is now only eating fish and chicken and turkey, we are declaring that there's going to be another episode later on in the week as well. When we do it, we don't know. We're going to figure it out, but it will happen.
there is a significant time difference. It's 14 hours from LA to Shenzhen. 14 hours, okay? And you're going to be in Hawaii, you say?
Yeah.
So that's going to be like either...
I think that
probably
helps.
70 hours.
I think yeah, you're 6 hours earlier than Hawaii. I think China
is. No, I'm 3 hours. 3 hours. 3 hours. Anyway, whatever. We'll figure that out. But it's going to be a hell of a time difference. One of us is going to be burning the midnight oil, as yeah, they say. But fine. What were we going to say, Luke? You had something you wanted to bring up.
Well, on the last show, we talked about how you dropped Callum off at college. And this is before you actually did it. So I would love to just kind of hear that experience a little bit. One pop to another. The pictures are nice. I like them all. I really like watching you and your family. You guys interact, you know, it's really nice. Like, you guys really fucking love each other. Great support system. So I say this all the time. You know, it's one of the things that I respect about you, but really anybody. I think when somebody has a kid and you see who they are as a parent, that is very telling as to who they are as a person. In my opinion, more important than any of the mistakes they've made in their past or anything else, how they try to change the future and how they try to, if they're a good dad, I think it's really, really important. So it's one of the reasons why I really respect you.
I mean, thank you very much. It's very kind. I mean, and when I look back at those Instagram pictures, when I look, you know, and I kind of gather an opinion of myself, I think, what is that opinion? What do people see? What is the public perception? And I can't help but think there's a guy that, you know, is really helping to reduce the single-use plastics in this world. There's a guy that wouldn't eat pork, definitely wouldn't eat pork. And when I look at him, there's a guy that's definitely limiting his alcohol intake, okay? And my God, he might fall because he's not infallible. He's just a mere human. But my God, that guy is trying. That's what I see when I look at those pictures, Lewis.
Yeah, of course, because you're in control of your... This is why everyone, according to social media, everyone's fucking crushing it. Everyone lives in nice hotels, nice cars. Life is great. They're eating great food. But yeah, because nobody's putting pictures of themselves when they're fucking puking because they got too drunk one night or an abusive relationship or fucking, yeah, you get what you get. People say that to me all the time. It's like, oh, Lewis is such a great dad. Look at all those pictures he puts of his kid. It's like, yeah, you don't know. What if I beat him every time the camera's not on?
Well, then I'd like you to go to prison. But, Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, that is social media 101, isn't it? That's what everybody does. They just put on all their best bits. But a lot of people do lie. I feel like I don't lie. If there's something cool or like a lot of the time there's like stuff that I have to put on due to sponsors and whatnot. And there's things that I want to publicize as well. You know what I mean? Like, in fact, that reminds me, UFC Gym UK, they're launching this week and the owner, Joe, like to jump on, not the owner, one of our business partners, should I say. He's asking if he can jump on the podcast. Can he come on at the end for 10 minutes? He wants to discuss the brand. And can we get him on today?
Today,
I'll show you my message.
I'm sure.
Yeah, is that cool? Yeah, he's asking if he can come on. So, yeah, I mean, stuff like that. But generally, you're not going to put your shittest foot forward. You're going to put your best foot forward. But you're right. Going back to what you said, we dropped Callum off at college. Wasn't as bad as what I thought, to be honest. We thought we were going to cry our eyes out. Rebecca definitely shed a few tears. I think I shed a little tear in the morning in the bathroom when we were getting ready to drive him up there. You know, I don't mean I started crying, but I was like, this is really sad. You know, I'm just going to miss his energy around the house. The drive up there is fucking long. I'll tell you that. It's a long ass drive, 7 hours. And then we get there, we move him in. I got to say, it ain't no half mansion he's living in. Jeez Louise, I'm just going to say that. I'm just going to throw it out. Put it like this. This room that I'm in doing this podcast from is about the same size and there's five people living in it. Very, very dimly lit. Okay. I don't know. They need to invest in some better light bulbs. That's all I'm saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
Dorms are dark. I remember
that
now. If they're always a little, there's not great lighting. There's not great windows. I mean, they take essentially, it's like tenement housing. They put as many people in these little small rooms as possible, make as much money as possible. Honestly, he'll probably want to do an apartment next year. That's what happens with everybody that can afford it. They go to the dorm and they're like, yeah, I don't want to have fucking five roommates. Sharing a bathroom with five dudes, awful. It's going to be filthy. It's going to be, yeah, dude, there's no way.
But the college know what they're doing because when they showed us around the college, they showed us the dorms, they showed us the new ones. And the one that they showed us was nice and bright and it had all just been painted. It had like a nice bathroom. It had two bathrooms, two bedroom, two bathroom, a lounge, a kitchen area, all the rest of it. And I was like, wow, this is decent. This is nice. But yeah, of course, that's the show pony. That's what they show everybody to hook them in. Callum and his wrestling buddies, they're living like, you know, 17th century squatters right now.
You can say Puerto Ricans. I know what you're going to say. He stopped himself, everyone.
I wasn't going to say Puerto Ricans. I have no knowledge of Puerto Ricans. I have no built-in prejudices other than yourself. But I don't look at you as a Puerto Rican. I look at you as a New Yorker. That's how I see you, Lewis. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. When I look at you, and I don't think anybody does. I mean, what's like a cliched Puerto Rican thing to do?
Wearing a Puerto Rican flag hat.
Yeah, there you go. We're Puerto Rican. You don't do that.
I'm wearing one right now.
Oh, you are? Oh. Oh, God, I had no idea. All right, fair enough, fair enough. Jesus Christ, it's so Puerto Rican, I never realized it. Look at you, Lewis. Wow.
I fucking advertise it. Yeah, I mean, no, I'm very New York Rican. Like, I don't speak Spanish. I have no culture. But there's like that style of Puerto Rican, which I am. But, yeah, you know, whenever I've been to Puerto Rico a few times, visit the hotels, visit some nice little touristy locations, El Yunque Rainforest, why not?
Nice, nice. Yeah. How did we get onto that real fast? We were talking about something, college or something.
Callum.
Anyway, yeah. Callum was living like Puerto Ricans. Poor guy. I don't know how he's going to get through it. But I tell you what, I had to go to Target because he was the last to move in. And there was no plug socket on his side of the room. He literally had nowhere to plug. All the other kids very selfishly stole all the plug sockets. But to be fair, on Callum's side of the room where his bed was, he had a little desk area, nowhere to plug anything in. So I go to Target for him whilst his mum is making his bed and all those types of
things. You mean extension cords?
An extension cord, yeah. Okay. He needed one of those so he could plug things in at his side of the room. So I go off to get an extension cord and some things. And Rebecca's like, grab him some snacks while you're there, some things to have in the room. And I get there and I'm like, five wrestlers in one room. You know what they're doing. It's the christening night. I text him, vodka or beer.
Oh, nice. Well,
what do you prefer, right? And Rebecca's like, what are you doing? I'm like, babe, he's almost 19 years old, okay? There's five kids in a dorm. It's their first night. I feel they should, you know, not go crazy, but they should, you know, have a bit of fun, right? The school, this is last Thursday. School doesn't start for almost a week. You know what I mean? They're going to bond. They're going to have some fun. It goes without saying, you know, they're going to ingest a little alcohol. So let me help them along. You know, so anyway, I bring back a bottle of vodka. And,
I think I'm 99% positive this is a crime, but keep on going.
No. Well, it's not. It's not. It gets providing minors with alcohol.
Just saying.
So I bring back a vodka. I was going to be for me. I was going to be for me. I was joking about the whole Target
obviously
thing. For the audio listeners only, I just made a winking look with my face. But then when I brought it in, Rebecca was like, what the hell is that? You're not giving that to them. And then she snatched it out of my hand. And as she snatched it out of my hand, it fell on the floor and it smashed. Okay. Oh. So vodka was gone. I said, sorry, guys. I tried to get you some vodka. And then one of his dorm mates goes, oh, it's okay, Mr. Bisping. Chung pulls the fridge door open. And there's about four bottles of vodka. There's beers. There's all kind of shit.
They're ready to go.
I'm like, you little rascals. You little rascals. But I called them in the morning. Well, I called Callum in the morning. I said, how'd it go? He said, oh, we had one drink. That was it. Then we went to bed. I'm like, pussy.
Sure.
That's mine.
That's what I would have told you too. Callum fucking dude, that's gotta be a lot of fun, dude, going in. And also I forgot about that. He's dorming with a bunch of wrestlers, so they all know who you are. I mean, any wrestler now, I couldn't imagine anybody that wrestles that doesn't watch MMA. It's like sort of the only, like, it was very weird. Like, if you were a wrestler in like the 80s, you had to really give a fuck about wrestling. That was it. Like, there was nothing beyond that. Like, what was even like, there was no fantasy of professional football or baseball or like being in the big leagues. It was like the Olympics. That's like as far as you can go with it. Yeah. And it was just for the tradition, just for the sake of it. There was no, in a way it's better. It's like now every kid wants to be a rock star. They want to be on TV. I think back then maybe people just respected tradition a little bit more. But now if you're into wrestling, now you have to watch MMA.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because I guess number one, you get to see the wrestlers, not always, but often dominate the fight. So they like that. They get to watch their skills that they're learning being put into effect in a real life fight. Plus the UFC is awesome. You know, it's very, very entertaining, but they have the skill set to transition into that. So I guess, you know, they will get that. And then of course you got WWE, but that's very, very different. And only like somebody with a subpar intellect would really get a kick out of that. You know, so...
First of all, don't count out WWE. We talked about this plenty of times.
If I'm
your agent, I'm angling for you to get into WWE. Okay.
Me too. I need a job. Okay. I need work. I need a job. If you're listening, WWE, I'm available for hire.
I could be your manager. Not manager in real life, like wrestling manager. You know nothing about this world. You need a valet to escort you to the cage. I got a megaphone. I do all the talking for you, and then you do all the talking in the squared circle.
What was the guy, the Undertaker? He used to have that, the old creepy-looking guy, didn't
Paul
he?
Paul Bearer. That's what you're saying that I am to you.
Paul Bearer. Paul, yeah, but that, was that Bearer. His name?
Paul Bearer. Like a Paul Bearer, but that was the... you get
see,
it?
Play on words there. I do. I get it, and I'm impressed. In fact, I'm speechless by it. All right, guys, let's just take a quick second to hear from Blue Chew. If you like sex, you're going to love BlueChew.com. Blue Chew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. Listen, wouldn't you like to go longer, go a few extra rounds, give your partner a better time? Well, with BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, and the chewables can work faster than pills. In fact, they can work up to twice as fast. The chewables from BlueChew.com can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. Online physician consult is free, so it's cheaper than the other two, Viagra and Cialis. Plus, it only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician, and if you qualify, you can get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And Lewis, I know you're bursting to say something, but it also ships directly to the door in discreet packaging, Lewis. If you chew it, one can do it.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. I use Blue Chew right now, okay? And look, Michael Bisping, very, very vocally against performance enhancement drugs. His whole career, okay? Very against it. But me, I say do as many as you can, baby boys. And in the bedroom especially, it really is. The best way to describe this is not about having erectile dysfunction. It is about having... just better sex. It's the best. I don't want to get crude. I know there's some kids that listen to the show, but if you want a fuller, more long-lasting, you know what we're talking about, Blue Chew is the way to go. I swear by it. My ladies swear by it. That's right. My harem of ladies swear by it. If you go to BlueChew.com, this is pretty crazy, Bisping. We give you your first order absolutely free. It's free. You fill out a little thing. They prescribe it to you right there, and then it shows up at your door. You pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com is the website. All you got to do is type in the promo code BELIEVE. You too can believe in having amazing sex. Use that promo code BELIEVE at BlueChew.com. All right, where were we?
So he's up at college now, so that's fun. He actually starts today. If you're listening, Callum, which I know you're not, good luck. Incidentally, yesterday was 20 years, Lewis. Me and Rebecca Bisping, or Rebecca Bisping and I, should I say, 20 years to the day yesterday. So we went out and celebrated last night. 20 years. Aw, long shit. Goddamn time. Lewis.
What'd you guys do?
Just went out for dinner. You know what I mean? Just went out and got some food. That was it. Had a nice little meal. Very, very civilized, you know, for a non-drinking person. Had a glass of champagne. Is that okay?
What?
You know, had a glass of champagne. We toasted, and then we had some sushi. Came home, went to bed. Very, very respectable.
Went to bed? That's it?
Went to bed.
That's it? You had a beautiful dinner, your 20-year anniversary.
You didn't give her the old... Stop.
What?
Stop.
It's your anniversary night. If you didn't, that's terrible.
Listen, I refuse to discuss such things on said podcast. My God, Lewis, get a grip, man. Get a hold of yourself.
I didn't give us details. I was just wondering if, you know, it sounded like a boring night. You offered up the information that you guys ate some sushi and went to bed. So,
We went to bed like any other normal person. I don't want to go into the details of my sleep cycle. I don't want to go into details of how many times I got up and urinated in the night. You know, I certainly don't want to go into details of any relations that may have gone on with my other half. Is that okay? Is that all right?
Fine. I'm just saying the fans, you know? I try to give the fans the insight that they want to know. If you want to hold back, this one's Michael Bisping, very protected image. He's, fucking humanitarian, saving the turtles, not eating meat, not drinking. And honestly, completely respectable to all women and every woman. Respect all women. Actually, it's National Equality Day.
Is it really?
It's national, right? Is that what it is? National Equality Day? So this is how we're That's right, ladies. You are, for one day this year, you are equal to us. And I will give them that. I will give them that.
For one day.
Yes.
Why do they need National Equality Day? It should be National Equality Year or a time of equality. And to be honest, women have overstepped the boundaries now. Women are in charge. Women are overtaking. You know, I mean, we're probably going to have a female president. We just had a female prime minister. I don't see what, you know, the problem is with women. Come on, relax. It's almost a sin these days to be a man. You have the leg up. You have the advantage. You have the advantage. Run with it. Take it. Abuse it.
100%. You really can't say this. We're going to be called sexist pigs by even having this conversation. But we're today, joking. 2019. No, I'm being serious. 2019, okay? Being a fucking woman is pretty awesome. I'm not saying that there's not cons. I'm not saying that there aren't issues and there's not still oppression in certain areas. But all things considered, if you are born as a woman in 2019, things are pretty fucking good for you. All right? That's just a fact.
Yeah. No, for sure. Definitely better than any other time. Definitely better. Discrimination should be a thing of the past. Discrepancies in pay between a man and a woman should be a thing of the past. If both the man and the woman could do the job to the same ability, the pay should be exactly the same, which I'm sure it is now in this day and age.
It is.
There's certain sectors, maybe not, but generally I think that's the case.
There's misconceptions there as well. I mean, I think that big gender gap thing, a thing that they didn't consider or that they don't take into consideration when they're describing it, it's a little misleading because women take off time for to become moms. So they take maternity leave. It's a very, very big part of it that adds to the gender gap. And also women, they go into fields that just don't pay as much. They have like a humanitarian, they're like motherly, like naturally. So they become teachers and nurses and they do these things that just typically aren't paying a ton of money. Whereas guys, they want to dominate. They want to be the boss. They want to be the fucking man. So they want to become CEOs. It's not that we don't want to hire.
Hold on. Listen. Whilst I agree with you in some ways, what you just said would be deemed as so sexist.
It's true.
You just basically said that all women lean towards jobs where they can be, you know, the nurturing qualities come out. Teachers, parents, being mother, nurse, you know, whereas men, yeah, we're go-getters. We want to go out there. We want to run a company and rule the world.
It's true.
You know, I don't think that's accurate. Honestly, if I'm being totally honest, I don't think that's accurate. Whilst I do agree that men and women are two very different things and they both have beautiful qualities attached to both of them. And there's no harm or danger in recognizing that fact. We are different people, you know, but still, I think what you said is a little incorrect.
No, I mean, look, if you look at it, look at the percentage of CEOs that are men. Is it because the wheels...
You're playing into what they say. This is their ammo. This is what they say. They say, look, you sound like a feminist activist right now. Because you're right, that's what they say. And that is the case. But that's just, you know, I mean, I guess the tide of that is turning. I mean, I don't know. I don't have any data or stats in front of me to back up what I'm saying. But I would assume that the number of CEOs, managing directors, bosses, for one of a better word, there's more and more women becoming bosses as opposed to men.
Of course, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is that's part of the empowerment movement. There are women that want to do that. And if they want to, if you want to go become a CEO of a company, you're likely not taking off a few years in the middle of it to become a mom, right? And it's a weird thing. This is sort of when you're talking systematically, and it's a fucked up thing. For the most part, women do naturally want to become moms. You know, I think men naturally want to become fathers, you know, and I think they have to fight that very natural instinct in order to succeed, in order to rise up the ranks in whatever industry you're in, right? Those formative years, ages 23 to 30, where this is where you got to fucking kill it. After college, your first few years out of college, now's time to kill it. Well, guess what? That's when their hormones start kicking and going, I want to be a mom. And they have to fight that instinct. And guess what? Most people don't fight their instincts. Most people lean into their instincts. And this is why we have way more CEOs that are men and way more teachers that are moms, or way more teachers that are women.
Hey, listen, I totally agree with what you're saying, and you're absolutely right.
Yes.
And that is just, no, you're right. And you're touching a very, very good point, because at the end of the day, you can't have it both ways, right? I mean, I guess you can to a certain degree, and that sounds like a dumb statement to me. But what I mean is, as you just said, the instinct, or maybe they just get pregnant, you know, maybe they didn't want to or whatever, but they had, you know, they've got a husband, a fiance, boyfriend, whatever. They get pregnant, they want to have the child, right? And then they want to raise the child. because that's a very natural instinct. I don't know how we got onto this topic, but then if they want to do that, they can't really be out there fucking flying all over the world, crushing meetings and heading up companies and going in boardrooms and all the rest of it when they're at home feeding babies. Now, of course, they can get a nanny if they're successful, but a lot of them don't want to do that either because they want to be hands-on. They want to be the one. They want to breastfeed. They want to raise them. Again, we're probably offending a lot of women, but
from my stupid
perspective on it, that's how I see it, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's the most natural instinct in the world for a woman to want to feel like that, and I feel if the roles were reversed, men would feel the same way. It's just that the way it goes, women give birth, it's a part of them, it's an extension of them, it grows inside them, so therefore they feel a little bit closer, and I guess that's just the way it works out.
Yeah,
the fact that they spend more time.
Yeah, I think it's just something that, like, we're not, it's not really discussed, and it's not, I don't think it's as simple as, women are being paid less than men to do the same job. That's very rare. In fact, I mean, I can name just examples in life where there's women that make more money that do the same job for whatever reason, because they learned how to kiss the boss's ass in a better way. They do a better job. They work harder. They work more hours. It exists in every area. I think we try to simplify it.
Pretty sure she was kissing something else. Sorry, maybe. I couldn't.
That was very low. That you wonder who makes the most money? People who kiss ass the most, people who get people to like them more. That's who makes more money. It has nothing to do with man or woman at this point. Not today. I mean, yes, I think, yeah, in the fucking 60s, in the 70s, even probably up to the 80s, I think you probably dealt with a lot more of that. But I just, since I was a kid, I'm 37 years old, and this is the same, I guarantee the same thing in England, because you're a couple years older than me. But since I was a child, since as long as I can remember, I've been being told boys are the same as girls. Anything I can do, she can do just as good as I can do. Everyone's equal. Race doesn't matter. I know there's systematic things, but at the same time, like, it's not like we're being taught to be pigs and to be sexist and to be racist. No, that's been since the 80s. We've been really teaching our kids, like, oh, treat everyone kindly, treat everyone respectfully, treat everyone the same. And it just sort of takes a few generations to shake all the bullshit. All the fucking old, you know, billionaires and all that old money, eventually they're going to die off and it's going to be a different world. And everyone's going to be, you know, talking like Bisping, kumbaya, you know, save the world. No, don't kill the animals. But I don't even know what I'm saying there, but I'm one of a dying breed. I say it like it is, Mr. Bisping.
Well, that's good. And we like the way you say it, Lewis. And Thanks. Yeah, I'm not sure how we got onto this topic of conversation. I just said that I went out for my wife's 20-year anniversary, which is a hell of a milestone. You know, we're proud of that. And then you had to turn it into somehow you wanted to know about our sexual relationship. You wanted to know how much I'm paying her and whether it was a reasonable amount. And I'm like, she doesn't get paid. She's my wife, okay?
She's not a prisoner. I don't want to know about your sexual relationship. The fans want to know about your sexual relationship. And I'm trying to deliver the information that they want. So congratulations. Absolutely. Tell Rebecca I said congratulations. That's awesome. I'm really happy for you guys. And it's kind of a cool thing. You know, you 20-year anniversary right the week as your son goes off to college. It's like, you guys fucking did it. You did it, dude. You know, fucking did it. Your kid went out to college. He's now a man. That's pretty awesome. First kid to do that. That's awesome.
We have to downgrade the half mansion now because Ellie, hold on. Sorry. That's what I was going to say. So my mind slipped for a second. What you're talking about jobs, just to go back to that for a second. I was looking online this morning. I'm looking for a job. There's a young lady staying with us at the moment. She starts college as well. And she's looking for a part-time job. So I was helping her out. I was looking this is just the kind of fucking humanitarian I am these days, Lewis. I'm correcting her CV. I'm helping her write her CV. I'm helping her look for jobs. You know, there's no payback for me. It's just who I am.
What's a CV?
I do. Oh, sorry, not a CV, a resume. Same. We call it a resume. Curriculum vitae is what we call it in the UK. Yeah. Resume. And I was looking at jobs for her, and they didn't specify a gender, male or female. But granted, these were, you know, pretty low level jobs for a young girl that's at college. You know what I mean? It's just some part time work. But there was no looking for a girl, looking for retail, waitressing, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just some part time jobs.
Hey, Mike, let's just take a quick moment and talk about CBDMD, which is such a great company. I love the fact that we work with CBDMD because CBD is one of the best products that we get to endorse on this show. It's a non-psychoactive ingredient in hemp or marijuana. It does not get you high. It is legal in 50 states. It can help with a wide variety of things, anything from inflammation, anxiety, sleeping, so many different things. If you Google what CBD can help you with right now, don't take our word for it. I'm telling you right now, the research is out there. We're supposed to talk good about this stuff. But do your research yourself. I'm telling you right now, CBD could change your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, unless you've been living under a rock, you've heard about CBD and the benefits of it. And we say it all the time. This isn't a fad. This isn't some placebo effect thing. This is there's hard data. There's hard science that proves doctors sign off on this stuff. So if you have problems with anxiety, inflammation, sleep disorders, or just want to maintain daily mental clarity and overall health, listen, CBD will help you. I've got many, many personal instances where it's helped me, helped my parents, helped family members, helps me with my knees, my neck, helps me sleep. Trust me, I love it. And CBDMD offer the best quality CBD at a very, very competitive price. And it's all made inside the UFC. Pardon me, all made inside the USA. So yeah, listen, if you want to try it, please, please do. Get involved, give it a shot, and you want to get good CBD. That is where CBDMD comes in. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a lot of companies out there, a lot of good companies, a lot of bad ones, but CBDMD is one of the very best. That's why they continue to go from strength to strength. So if you want to get involved, you want to give it a try, go to cbdmd.com and use the code BYM20. You will get 20% off your initial order. That's cbdmd.com, promo code BYM20 for 20% off. Get rid of the inflammation, get rid of the anxiety, sleep better at night, be a better person. And yeah, you know, there you go. Check it out. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. CBDMD.com. BYM20. All right, where were we? 20 years. Luke is at college. Callum's at college. And we're waffling on in a good way here. So what should we talk about? What is going on? I mean, all right. What was the big news last week? I mean, we got UFC China coming on. I'm going to be there for that. There's a good, good main event. Wei Li Zhang taking on Jessica Andrade. We'll save all that talk for the second show. I'll be in China, so I guess that makes sense to do it from there. I can give us some insight, some scope. You know, I can shed a bit of Chinese culture on us. You know, just throw in those culture bombs. What's some big stories that you want to jump into right now? I mean, there's a few fight announcements this week. I mean, the big story last week was, after we did our show, was McGregor going on Ariel Helwani and talking about that incident. To be honest, you know, everybody's seen that. If you go on YouTube, you do the rounds, you go on any MMA related website, you'll see that. You'll see people reporting on it. You'll see people giving their take on it, you know. So I mean, it is what it is, you know. He says he needs to get better. I agree, he needs to get better. Also spoke about returning fights. Yeah, go on, Lewis, what are you going to say?
I'm sorry, I was going to say, do you have any like bullet points from that interview, anything that sticks out that would be interesting, Harrington? Because I know you watch all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, basically the biggest stuff I could find was...
Harrington, when you come in every time, why is the first word that you say always three octaves higher than the way you really speak?
Because he's got brass knuckles up his ass.
That's very rude, Michael. I got rid of those. I'm turning my
real quick. I want to ask a question. Lewis, you're involved in this as well. But Harrington, you there, bud?
Yes, sir.
I'm calling bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm calling bullshit on some segment of the story with the brass knuckles. Oh. Because when I drove back from San Francisco College on Thursday night, I didn't get in until 5 o'clock in the morning. I was absolutely exhausted. A long drive. I put on the Joe Rogan podcast with the Legion of Skanks. Very good appearance. Bravo. Congrats to all. I did hear a story, Lewis, that you said whilst on Joe Rogan, something to do with brass knuckles. You were talking about brass knuckles. You were talking about knuckle dusters and how you thought they were cool. And then, just a couple of days later, Harrington's getting arrested for having brass knuckles in his bag. I'm sorry, call me suspicious, but there's definitely a correlation between the two, that you were talking about brass knuckles on Joe Rogan, right? Then he forgets that he had brass knuckles in his bag. I'm assuming you've flown in the last 10 years. Why weren't the brass knuckles in the bag then? What is the truth? Do you hear what I'm saying, Lewis?
I completely hear what you're saying. And now, honestly, at first I wasn't connecting it. I was like, well, I mean, that's not that crazy, Mike. But then I watched Harrington's face and the nervous look that it came upon his brow when you started saying this. And I was like, okay, well, now there's something to this, because you have to watch the reaction. There's more to this story. What are you leaving out of this story, Harrington?
I mean, you know, I'm learning from the best here in Lewis J. Gomez. If he says knuckle dusters are cool, maybe they end up in my bag.
Wow. I like it. Oh, okay. I like that. That's a good answer.
Hey, that was a great answer. He's like, listen, there's no, you know, There's no bullshit here. He mentioned them. I got them. Fair enough.
I want Lewis to like me more.
He's like, Lewis says they're cool. All of a sudden, I'm buying knuckle dusters. Yeah, I got to respect the honesty. What did we call Harrington over for? Oh, sorry, the McGregor interview. Go on, Harrington. What were you going to say, bud?
Well, just a couple interesting things. One, he said he needed to speak to his surgeon this week to resume grappling training. He believes firmly that that was his biggest downfall in the Khabib fight, that he was ready for him on the feet, even with the lucky shot that he landed, but he needs to up his grappling training. He said that he would like to fight before year's end, possibly on one of the two end-of-year cards, either MSG or 245. And he also gave a list of possible opponents that he'd be interested in, if you guys want to hear that.
Yeah, no, I heard it was Max, Frankie Edgar, Tony Ferguson. He basically named every name. You know what I mean? He said it doesn't matter who it is. So,
apparently there was also supposed to be a fight between him and Justin Gaethje sometime in July that they couldn't pull the trigger on for whatever reason.
Yeah, that would have been a great fight. This is a shame that one never materialized. You never know. I mean, honestly, you got to be careful. I'm just going to say this. You got to take what he says with a pinch of salt. You know what I mean? Just saying, you can say whatever you want to say. You don't get held accountable. Like, I can speak to Errol Hawani and say whatever I decide comes out of, you know, whatever I want to say. No one's going to pull me on it. No one's going to call me up. No one's going to say, hey, that's not true. So, you know, I mean, good for him. He went on a little PR campaign there from last week after what surfaced, and he's trying to, you know, trying to apologize and hold his hand up, which is admirable, and trying to get back in the game. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm glad that he's saying he's willing to almost fight anybody. It's pretty cool. You know, it seems like these days, guys that are that big, and he might just be saying it, but the fact that he's just throwing out really all the toughest guys at 155 pounds, it's awesome. You know, and if he actually comes back and takes.
He's also throwing out one of the toughest guys now, 135 pounds, Frankie Edgar. You know, come on. I was like, come on, doggy, you know.
Yeah.
Doggy.
Doggy dog.
Frankie Edgar. I mean, Frankie Edgar's awesome. But Frankie Edgar's very, very much smaller. You know what I mean?
Well, like, both of them. Frankie Edgar, former 155-pound champion. You know, Frankie's a monster. Honestly, that's a great fight for Frankie Edgar. At this point, McGregor coming off of fucking, what, he's like 1-3 in his last four outings, if you consider boxing and everything. I think that's what it is. I mean, Frankie Edgar, that's a winnable fight. I think McGregor probably beats Frankie Edgar, but at the same time, these are both guys that spent a lot of time at 145, and Frankie and McGregor are both champions at 155, so it's not like he's that much undersized.
Next time, why don't you just go on the Hawani show for Conor? Do you know what I mean? So listen, I got this baby boy. Don't worry. You want to fight Frankie Edgar? I'm going to lay it out. How that's not crazy. It really
I'll
is.
Do it as
I don't
Paul
know.
Bear. Just... I'll do it as his professional wrestling manager. I'm like, oh, he's going to fight Frankie Edgar. Oh, yes.
Is that how he talks?
It was the Paul Bear. Remember his voice?
No, I don't. That sounds like it would get annoying rather
quickly. It wasn't a great impression. It was kind of like that.
I kind of get the point you're making.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'd watch Frankie Edgar, Conor McGregor, but I just thought he wanted to get his belt back is all. And I don't see that doing that. But anyway, be good to see him back in there. What else is going on? As I said, we're going to talk China later in the year. What are some big stories? You said that Tyron Woodley called out McGregor. Is that correct, Harrington?
Yes, sir. So Woodley was asked about the McGregor thing on his Instagram Live. He shit on him for punching the old guy in the bar and then said, you know, for all the guys McGregor's calling out at welterweight, my name isn't out of his mouth. We had that beef at MSG a couple years ago, so I don't know why he's not calling me.
They had the beef when Tyron was a champion. It's a little different when you both have straps, right? And it's supposed to be this super fight. And it's about, like, the money on the line. Tyron Woodley, Conor McGregor. This is also before there was a champ, I believe. This is when there was the idea of there being a champ, and nobody had done it before. So from McGregor's perspective, he wants no part of that fight. A big, beastly fucking Tyron Woodley that could wrestle fuck him to death, can knock him out, way larger. There's no upside for it. I wouldn't take that fight.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Agree completely. There's a massive upside for Tyron Woodley. Obviously, McGregor, we know, you know, given whatever people's perception is, he's still the biggest star in the sport. And you got to favor Woodley in that matchup for McGregor or for anybody. This is how it is. When you're the champion, you notice you've always got the champs wanting to step up a weight division or even go down a division, because when it's not your division, you've got the chance of winning another belt. You know what I mean? And if you win it, great. And if you don't win it, well, so what? You're still the champion of your division. It's almost like having a title fight without risking your belt. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like a free title fight, a free, not a free payday because you're still going to do the work, but it's also like, it's almost like a risk-free payday. Because if you pull it off, you're amazing and you're two-weight division champion. And if you don't, oh, well, so what?
You're still amazing.
You tried something and you're still the champion of your division. So of course, you know, Conor might have talked about it then, as you said, when Tyrone was the champ. But right now, I mean, that's not a good fight for Conor. It really isn't. I mean, for Woodley, it probably is. But for Conor, he has nothing to gain from fighting that. You know, there's many, many tough people on the roster. If you don't have a belt, what's the appeal, you know? Just to get beat by somebody or have another loss? I'm not saying he would necessarily get beat, but, you know, if you look at the odds, I mean, you would have to favor Woodley. So, yeah, I totally agree, Lewis.
What do you think this is sort of a little sideball thing, because I just started, like, in my head, started doing the fantasy matchups with Conor. Just in general, what do you think right now is the biggest fight you could possibly book in MMA?
Biggest fight you could book in MMA? Well, yeah.
Not fantasy world, not Brock Lesnar versus Conor. Like, yeah, obviously,
we're talking about
that could happen.
Yeah. No, I've got it. Listen, the answer is simple. The answer for the biggest fight right now in MMA is that in 2 weeks' time, Khabib versus Dustin Poirier is taking place. Incidentally, I think it was yesterday, we saw the square-ups. I think they're in Dubai right now. Pardon me, Abu Dhabi. They're in Abu Dhabi. No drama. Pointing, no shouting, no swearing, just respect, which is great to see, but it's not getting the hype. It's not getting nowhere near the hype. So I don't think that pay-per-view, as big as a star as what Khabib is, because he is a huge star. He's got a massive social media following now. He's all over the world. He's world famous. But I just don't think that's going to deliver as much, just simply because fireworks sell. Simple as that. It does. It's fighting, and then it does help sell the fight. After that fight, if Khabib wins, and when I saw Dustin and Khabib square up, incidentally, I did notice they're very similar in stature, in size, but Khabib looked a lot thicker and stronger. I think Dustin's got a tough fight. In fact, everybody knows that. But with the Dustin Poirier that showed up against Max Holloway, I think Max definitely has a chance in that fight. You know, you've got to lean towards Khabib, but Max has a chance. Anyway, the point of me saying all that, it is... Sorry, pardon me. Dustin stands a chance. Yeah, pardon me. If Khabib wins that fight, the rematch with Conor and Khabib, yeah, there you go. That's the biggest fight UFC can make right now. Bigger than DC Jones 3, bigger than DC Stipe 3, bigger than Diaz McGregor 3. In fact, I don't know about that.
That'd be tough. It's a tough one.
Yeah. But you've just got to go off history, right? Khabib versus Conor did 2.4 million buys. That was the biggest pay-per-view the UFC's done. They had all that drama afterwards, you know. You got to think the rematch would be bigger. You got to think, but I don't know. McGregor's stock did definitely take a plunge. You know, if we were on the FTSE 100 right now, you know, fucking stockbrokers would be jumping off fucking skyscrapers, killing themselves because they just lost billions of dollars. You know what I mean? The stock has dropped. It has plummeted big time, okay? It's taking a hit. Let's just fucking call it what it is. It's taking a fucking hit. Wall Street is losing its fucking mind right now.
Look, I'm just saying, if you're investing the McGregor business just right now, today, it's just not necessarily the best day.
Hold your money.
Don't invest. It'll go back up. MMA fans are fair weather motherfuckers. Let me tell you something. They have very short memories.
They fucking are. Listen, 1 minute I'm Love's Young Dream, the people's champion. Next minute I'm in the toilet. I've yo-yoed on the FTSE 100 so many times. The stock exchange has been my best friend and my worst enemy at the same time, okay? The fan stock exchange, it goes up and down, yo-yos like a bitch.
I have a friend who, this is an interesting way to play stocks, right? He watches whichever companies, like one of their CEOs says something or does something that gets him into trouble, something sexist, something racist, right? And then he watches the news like that. And then when the stock plummets, he invests that next day. And he was like, it always just goes back up because people, they don't really give a fuck about whatever issues they care about. So it's like sort of a way to get stock that will always go back up. Kind of a cool strategy.
No, that really is. It's like Elon Musk. When Elon Musk went on the Joe Rogan podcast and smoked that joint, there was a bit of a, bit of a fuss made of that, and I believe the stock dropped temporarily. So there you go.
That's all we're saying.
Example.
We're saying McGregor punching that old man is comparable to Elon Musk smoking a joint on the Joe Rogan podcast.
No, we're not. It is nowhere near the same ballpark.
It's the same thing. Not a big deal. Why is everyone freaking out?
Freaking out for no reason. So Khabib Connor, that's the biggest fight they can make.
I think the bigger fight is GSP Connor. If you want the biggest fight in the world possible, I know it's, look, I guess they said, GSP's name was just in the news again. Maybe a week ago they were talking about him returning again. Somebody was saying something. And I know that GSP's coach just said, McGregor's a pathetic, sorry excuse for a human. I didn't read the article, but I did read that headline. So maybe there's something brewing there. I don't know. In my opinion, the absolute biggest fight in the world that you can make, GSP comes back, 155 pounds. They just take the belt from Khabib.
No.
Put it up. Who's going to strip Khabib?
Oh, yeah. Just chop a leg off George St. Pierre just to make it in any way, shape, or form that Conor can win that fight, okay? GSP mauls Conor all day long. You do it at 170 pounds because Conor's been happy to go up to 170 many, many times. Stop trying to bring out the guy that took my belt. Stop trying to bring him out of retirement, right, to get another win or even a loss. Listen, he said recently that he's retired. He said that. He said that very recently. Let him B, leave the great GSP alone, okay? His last fight was against me. That's it. It doesn't need to be discussed anymore.
Top of the mountain. He doesn't need to. What else does he have to prove as an athlete?
Never fight again, George, okay? Because if you get beat, you make me look like a total cunt, okay? If George St. Pierre comes out of retirement and loses, I'm flying to Montreal and beating up George in a street fight, okay? Just know that. And that's what's happening.
You will fuck George up in a street fight. All day long. Listen,
I had bad ribs. We know about this. I will destroy him in any way, shape, or form. But if he comes out of retirement and gets beat, it's on.
It's not going to be a fair fight, George. I'm talking about he's going to show up with Harrington's brass knuckles. That's it.
Exactly. What else we got? I mean, we're just looking at the notes here. Usman versus Covington officially targeted for Madison Square Garden. You know, did you see Usman? Sorry, pardon me, not Usman. Covington. He did a report or he did an interview just recently. He had some chick dangling off his shoulder. Can we play any of that? He had some chick dangling off his shoulder. He was talking all kinds of trash. To be honest, he had a good point. He made a few good points, but I can't remember them off the top of my head.
About Covington is he's like, even though him and, what's his name, Masvidal are boys, he's been trashing Masvidal, too. He's like, yeah, dude. Pull up that quote, Harry. It was pretty funny. He was talking about how they wouldn't give Masvidal front row seats at the event.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that before when I was making my turkey bacon, when you were stuffing your face. I want to scarf something down, you said. I was like, all right, well, I'll take this opportunity to make some poultry bacon. And I was making it, and I listened to it, and he was saying, well, turkey is a form of poultry, okay? And he was saying, you know, yeah, of course I was there. They had the champ front row. I'm the people's champion. I was front row. Masvidal, in fact, bring up the quote. Let him say it.
Yeah, Vet Harrington?
He said he was trying to get Masvidal to the front row, but he doesn't rate. He's not a championship fighter. Championship fighters sit front row, but Masvidal had his back a few rows back.
Well, that's... There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's hard to get those front row seats, doggy.
Yeah. I don't even want them. I just want to be on that first riser. That's all I need.
All right, guys. I want to tell you about Monday.com, a team management tool that you guys just started using at the Gas Digital Studios. I know that, Lewis. And you told me all about it. And I've been using it myself to help clarify all my research stuff that I do when I commentate. Monday.com is a lifesaver and has completely changed how we track projects and make sure that stuff's getting done. Instead of email spreadsheets, random audio files, whiteboards with to-do lists, random post-it notes, Monday.com organizes and tracks everything in one place. And the best part of Monday.com is that it's intuitive. This took us no time to get set up. It's flexible. It can easily customize for your workflow. And it's easy to stay organized and find files, Lewis.
Oh, yeah, it is. I'll tell you right now, we use it around here for every show. You were just telling me that's such a great use for it. You were telling me about how you're using it to organize your notes for all of your different projects that you're doing for the UFC. It's great, dude. The thing that I love about it is that we can assign tasks here. everyone's accountable for the tasks we assign them. Instead of having to go through, you know, 100 emails to try to find different notes, Harrington sends up stuff all the time. Brian sends us stuff all the time. Ralph will send us emails about the show. It's all under one place. It's really, really easy to organize. And you could have multiple projects at once. So if you have a team that's working on multiple things, it's a really easy way to sort of track everything and see everything in one place. All right. This is an amazing, amazing tool. I really love it. And probably the coolest part of all of it is that we're giving you a 14-day free trial of their premium service. There's no commitment. You don't have to sign up and continue to pay for this thing. Just try it out. Give it a little try. If you have a team of 2 people, if you have a team of 1,000 people, go to monday.com/believe. monday.com/believe. Make sure you use that link. They're going to give you a 14-day free trial. Check it out for yourself. I'm telling you right now, anything from as simple as an art project to having a huge business with thousands of employees, monday.com will change the game for you guys. So once again, that is monday.com/believe, and go change the way that you do business. All right, where were we?
You know, competition's got to be careful, though, because Masvidal and him, even if they are boys, I'll tell you, as we all know, Masvidal doesn't take any messing around. He's a very volatile son of a gun, and he's a real dude. If he takes a hint of insult to any of that, we might see some action, so that'll be funny. What else we got? I'm looking through these notes. Amanda Nunes versus Jiraiya.
Well, as it relates, I apologize. As it relates, the Masvidal Nick Diaz fight, I guess they're trying to target the end. Or I'm sorry, Nate Diaz fight. They're trying to target the end of the year, which I think they should just try to make that all on one card. They've done that before, where it's like the title eliminator fight is the co-main event, and then the main event is the title fight. That would be killer in New York. You come out, fucking hang out, get a couple pods on in person. Maybe do a live show on the Friday night.
Yeah, but the end of year show is in Madison Square Garden. The end of year show that you're talking about is in Vegas. Amanda Nunes versus Jermaine de Randamie. That's awesome. John Jones is hinted to be on that card also. Matt Brown versus Ben Saunders. And if you throw one as well, Masvidal versus Nate Diaz. Do you know, honestly, I think that's too much. That's too much to have John Jones. Nunes.
No, I was saying November. I'm not saying that card. Yeah. I think they should do November. I guess saying they were trying to target the end of the year. Regardless, I mean, obviously, that fight is massive. Probably more excited. I'm more excited to see Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal than I am to watch Usman and Covington.
Yeah, for sure. No disrespect. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to shit on Colby Covington. I'm not listening, you know. I actually do find myself somewhat entertained by his antics and what he says, to be honest. Once I got past the initial disdain for him, is that, you know, if you just look at it as a gimmick and a bit of shtick, which is what it is by all accounts, then, you know, then good for him. He's making headlines. Listen, in the octagon, he's a hell of a fighter. He really is. But I've got to say, as you said, and that's why I clarified that point, it's not because of any bias or anything like that. Masvidal Diaz, I get way more excited for that fight than Usman Covington. But Usman Covington being the main event being a title fight, would be the main event. Diaz versus Masvidal Coleman, fucking hell, dog. That's a great fight card right there.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. We'll see what happens with that. I know we have a little bit more time here, Mike. I want to just take a quick second and tell everyone to go and subscribe on our YouTube channel. YouTube channel is growing massively. 100,000 is the number we're looking for. 50,000 more subscribers, 51 more thousand subscribers. By the way, people are spreading the word now, okay? I was on Reddit the other day, and they're fucking trying. The numbers, the masses are out there. The Fighter and the Kid subreddit is slowly but surely becoming a Believe You Me fan page, and they're spreading the word for us, which I love them for it. Okay, it's incredible. Keep on subscribing to the YouTube channel. You get all the latest episodes there, highlight clips, and more. Obviously, if you're on Apple, go to our go subscribe on iTunes as well. Leave us a 5-star ranking and a positive review. Every time you guys review us, every time you guys subscribe, every time you have a friend subscribe, that helps us with the rankings. Rating high on iTunes doesn't really matter, okay? But what it does is it helps us be discovered by new fans, okay? So when you guys do that, it enables us to be discovered. So it really does make a difference for us. And of course, if you love the show, we have every episode available on demand, ad-free, and uncensored at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 14-day free trial, and you save $1.50 a month if you decide to keep the premium service. You get access to this show's archives, plus all the other shows on the network. And also, last but not least, if you want to join the conversation, shoot us an email, bympod@gmail.com. We love your video questions. We love your audio questions, fan art. You know what we should do, Mike? I'll say this.
What?
I want a new t-shirt designed. How about this? Send your t-shirt designs, and we had a couple people send them already, to bympod@gmail.com. If we pick your design, we'll give you a $100 cash prize plus an entire merch package. All the merch that we have for the show, we'll send to your house. You guys get everything.
I just want a t-shirt. I don't want a new t-shirt design. I mean, yeah, I mean, new t-shirts design would be very, very welcome, and that's a great idea. Doggy, send me some t-shirts. You're I want to flex. I want to wear these. I have no t-shirts. I have zero. I'm wearing a Sanibel t-shirt. It's very nice. Nobody sent me one. I have not received a t-shirt.
I don't like you anymore. This is the problem. We're no longer friends. Because I say every time, just fucking let me know what you want. Shoot me an email. You say this really.
We have had this conversation on air, and you've said multiple times, you've looked around and gone, hold on, right, send him 2 large, 2XL, da 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 da.
You're a liar.
I swear
wow.
to God.
Wow. No, Michael Bisping, liar. That should be added to your best liar in the world. Can we get him a trophy? Best liar in the world, Michael Bisping. We'll look his friend in the eyes and lie to his face without anything. No, no problem. Look at him. He's an immoral human. Look at what's happening right now. Every time I say email me.
Listen, we have had this conversation, doggy. You said you were going to send them. Send them. Large. Hoodies XL. A small one for my wife. We've said this, doggy. There you go. Boom. Done.
Harrington.
Anyway.
Go fucking write an email to Bisping right now and confirming everything. And CC Mike, the other Mike. There's so many Mikes that fucking work at this place now.
It's okay. Right. It's okay. But anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to say something right then, but no, it passed. I was going to say this, though. Here's another interesting one. Damian Maia versus Ben Askren. They've been matched up, so we get Ben Askren back in action. That's going to be UFC Singapore, which is an interesting one because... I mean, we all know Ben Askren lost massively, and that was just a devastating knockout. One of the worst knockouts, not only the fastest, but like one of the worst knockouts you'll ever see. It wasn't too long ago. We all know. I don't need to set the scene or paint the picture. It was that beautiful flying knee.
Yeah.
Obviously, that took Ben Askren's undefeated record. Now he's coming back, and he's taking on Damian Maia, which I think stylistically is a really, really... hard, but potentially dangerous thing to do. Because if he loses to Damian Maia, that's two in a row. One could argue that when he fought decent competition outside the UFC, he was undefeated, came over here, okay, beat Robbie Lawler. There was a certain bit of controversy surrounding that fight. Yeah, so I'm just saying Damian Maia, I mean, what is his path to victory here? I mean, it's a really, really tough fight. And sorry, pardon me, Ben Askren. What is Ben Askren's path to victory? I get it. He wants to take on the toughest guys out there. And Damian Maia is certainly one of them. But Ben Askren is a grappler. What's he going to do? He's going to take down Damian Maia. And if he's not careful, he's going to get submitted. And to go from being 18-0 to then being potentially stopped in two fights, it's really, really fucking dangerous. I mean, I know we love Ben and you're a big fan of his. His personality is great and his fighting is very, very strong. His wrestling is fantastic, but he needs work on his striking. He's going to take Damian Maia down. I don't know if that's a smart thing.
I mean, look, he might be able to wrestle Damian Maia to a stalemate if it's not, especially if it's not a main event, 3 rounds. You know, he's an incredible grappler as well. He's an Olympic caliber grappler. My concern is not even so much the winnability of the fight, because I'd probably put my money on Ben. He's never been submitted before. I don't think he's ever fought anyone with the credentials of Damian Maia. But at the same time, it's not like Damian Maia's tapping out every opponent. Damian Maia has fought plenty of decisions. The bigger concern. Yep. Bigger concern is what a fucking boring fight that could end up being. It could really be a shit show of a fight. We remember Tyron Woodley versus Damian Maia, and that was a shit show. That fight, talking about stock plummeting, it was a Black Friday for Tyron Woodley after that fight. You win a fight and still just fucking tumbling down. Nobody, all everyone could talk about was how shitty that fucking fight was after he put on a masterful performance.
Do not talk shit about Tyron Woodley's performance in that fight. Yes, you're right. One man's Black Friday is another man's Happy Monday, because that got me the GSP fight. Dana White went on the podium afterwards and said, yep, Tyron is not fighting George St. Pierre. We're going to give that fight to Michael Bisping. We know Michael will bring it. So, yeah, you're right. But listen, I'm sorry. You know, fucking good for me. I'm looking at Ben Askren's record.
Ben has been notorious for, in the past, Bellator days early, fighting some of those boring fights, getting on top, holding position. Demian Maia, I got a handful of times where I can tell you Demian Maia's forced to put some boring fights. My concern is, no matter who wins this fight, it's going to be a shit show of a fight, and it's not going to do anything for either guy's stock, really. I mean, in the rankings, it will, but I see that fight, I'm like, ugh, there's nothing that excites me about it.
That's an interesting point, and I agree, to be honest. It does have all the... It has all the potential to be a snooze fest, but it actually does have the potential to be a fantastic display of grappling, you know. And sometimes when the grappling's fun and high paced and they're exchanging positions and transitioning from position to position, from a submission attempt to escape to another attempt, that can be a lot of fun to watch. Or maybe it stays on the feet. Maybe Askren uses his wrestling to keep the fight on the feet. Maia can't take him down. And then we watch what I would assume to be a pretty boring kickboxing match, you know? Or, I mean, who knows? It's just dangerous because you got to think Askren's going to take him down. Now, you're absolutely right. Submitting people in mixed martial arts isn't as easy as what, you know, it is in a jiu-jitsu match. You can punch people. You can, you know, just try and not be submitted. And somebody like Askren, he's been around long enough. But still, if you're playing that game, if you're rolling around on the floor for so long, there is the possibility of being submitted by Demian Maia. Demian Maia is a legit threat to anybody and everybody if it hits the floor. You're in a world of fucking trouble. And as I say, I respect Askren for taking this fight. And I know he wants to fight somebody good. I mean, it's out in Singapore where he did fight out in Asia for a while. So he has a following out there. And Demian Maia has a name. But yeah, it's a dangerous fight. I respect him for taking him on. But stylistically, he's a very difficult opponent.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a cool matchup when you hear it on the surface, but we'll see what happens with that fight. I remember Demian Maia versus John Fitch back in the day, and the game plan he used for John Fitch was, I mean, it wasn't even like he tried to wrestle him. He just kind of like, I remember he like clinched with John Fitch and just like pressed him up against him the whole time, and it became this weird like standing clinch grappling match. Really, really boring, but he shut John Fitch's wrestling down in a very, very big way, and John Fitch was a fucking badass wrestler back in the day.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Looking at these notes here. Also, this one's good. Maybe, Harrington, if you're not, you know, too far away from the microphone and I could possibly trouble you. Point 11. I never knew about this. So Justin Gaethje is fighting Donald Cerrone next month. I had no idea. And it says that Gaethje was knocked out by Cowboy Cerrone years ago in sparring, possibly before Justin's pro debut. He says that this is a sticking point in training for his fight against Cowboy. Harrington, can you elaborate on this? What more do we know?
Well, he just said that when he was a young man, he fought Cowboy. He said it was like a child fighting a grown man. He wasn't sure if he'd even had his first pro fight yet. But in the gym, Cowboy like severely outclassed him and knocked him out. And yeah, he's just excited for the rematch. He says he owes him one and he plans to get him back in the cage.
Ah, interesting. I'm just looking up. In fact, while I talk, Harrington, can you look up the age of Gaethje and the age of Donald Cerrone? Because I think that's relevant to this discussion. But, yeah. You know, before we say that Cerrone's beating kids up in the gym, let's find out their ages. But what's your initial thoughts on that, Lewis?
Well, I mean, look, it's a different time. If it was before he had his first pro fight, Donald Cerrone probably at that point was like a killer in his gym. He was the dude, and he was like a little bit, you know, almost like wide-eyed and, you know, maybe nervous to be fucking with him. I mean, I believe it, but it's just a different time, you know, kind of silly. Doesn't really matter.
Oh, no, for sure. Absolutely a different time. But those things do stick in your head. And I can understand Gaethje saying that he's using that to, you know, motivate him in training camp. Because if somebody knocks you out, especially when you're younger, and I'm not talking shit about Cerrone. At the end of the day, Cerrone's in there. And again, this is hypothetical. I don't know the background, but I'm assuming Cerrone would have been training for a fight. Gaethje, whether you're a kid or not, right? Similar size guy, very, very good wrestler. Probably, you know, he's a cocky dude. Probably came in. He's like, yeah, come on, let's fucking go. You know, and if you're swinging at someone, then, and Cerrone's getting ready for a fight, he's like, fuck you. You know, you step onto the mat, you want to try and bring it to me. You want to hang with the big boys. This is how the big boys train. You know, so no animosity towards Cerrone. And it doesn't sound like Gaethje has any there. No. What was the age difference, Harrington?
Gaethje is currently 30 years old. Cerrone is 36. Gaethje made his pro debut in 2011, which would put him at about 22 years old at the time.
That's okay. Yeah, that doesn't mean that he's a kid. 22 years old. He was out of college. He had a wrestling career at high school and college. You know, yeah. That's,
but how long had Cowboy already been in the UFC at that time? Because if you're, it's not even the age thing. It's more about what the fuck was that?
That was Rebecca sneaking in another coffee and me nearly spilling it all over the glass desk that you hate.
I hate that glass desk.
It looks fresh. It looks fancy. It looks modern, contemporary.
I don't need there to be a big, loud, fucking clickety-clack every time I do anything on my desk. I put a pen down, I put a coffee down.
There's no loud clickety-clack every time I put something on my desk, okay? I nearly spilled a coffee.
It sounded like a shotgun went off.
That would clickety-clack on a wooden desk. The only desk that wouldn't clickety-clack on would be a leather-padded desk.
Well, you know what my vote is.
Get the leather padded desk.
Get that leather padded desk, baby boy. Won't you fucking be a little classy? On?
Tap your desk. Just tap it. Yeah. Hey, you ready?
It's nice. You hear that?
Comparable.
So real quick, this is kind of funny. We kind of bust Paige Van Zandt's balls on the show here and there. We have a little bit of playfulness, and it's only because she's so successful, okay? We could tear her down a peg because she's very, very successful, but her Instagram post is a little crazy.
Hold on. See, this is the thing, and we did, you know, when we were planning the show, you wanted to talk about this, and I said, you know, listen, Paige is a nice woman. I have to interact with her on occasion. I don't see her a lot, but now and again, I'll be at a UFC event and, you know, she's doing well in the UFC, and I don't want to feel like a two-faced guy. So I go up, I say hi and all the rest of it. But I don't want to be on here. Now, we have been on the podcast. We've talked about her boob implants and whatnot, and that's all well and good. But then you said you wanted to talk about this, and I was like, I don't know. But then I'm like, oh, it's about her husband. Her husband fought in Bellator at the weekend. He won. Good for him. What is your take on it, Lewis? What is your take? Not Michael Bisping's take. What is the take of Lewis J. Gomez?
Well, first of all, we do a comedic-based podcast, and anybody who listens to the show that gets offended by anything we say, they really need to fucking get a better sense of humor, because we trash each other. We spend an hour and a half, at least once a week, trashing each other to our faces. Like, we're very self-deprecating. Sorry. Once in a blue, we're going to make a little bit of a joke, you know, whether it's a man, a woman. This is what we do. You know, I'm sure has to deal with this even more than us. Adam Hunter, he has that page where he roasts MMA fighters. Have you ever been offended by anything that he's written about you? Because I'm sure he's written plenty of jokes.
Yeah. So he's written plenty of jokes about me now. And Adam Hunter, I mean, you know him as well. He's an awesome guy.
He's awesome.
I've been to. Yeah, Adam's a great, great person. Very funny comedian.
Great podcast, too. MMA Roasted. We should get him on this one to cross-promote.
We should. I've been on there myself as well. I'm sure he'd reciprocate it, no problem. Good dude. Now, when he first came on the scene, though, I didn't know him. I've got to know him. But I didn't know him when he first came on the scene. And I'm like, who's this motherfucker talking all this shit? And I did not find it funny. I'm like, fuck this guy. He's making jokes at my expense. And then it's funny when you meet someone. And then, because when you meet somebody and you have a rapport and you're friends, then that's okay. But when you don't know them and you're making these jokes, which I didn't take as a joke, I thought, because there was a little bit of truth to what he was saying. So I was like, you know,
there's truth behind any joke. There has to be a little bit of truth. Otherwise, it's not going to be funny. If there's nothing there, but he's got a great Twitter account and Instagram account called MMA Roasted. And he basically makes jokes at the expense of MMA fighters all over the place. And really nobody's safe. You know what I'm saying? And that's why it works, because it's not like he's picking a team. Whoever is going to be out there, he tries to write funny, clever jokes. And I think I'm assuming there are fighters that have threatened his fucking life. I'm assuming there have been people that have had real words with him, because at this point, you live in the world of funny. Like, we do this every day. We talk shit to each other, and it's your job to be somewhat of a comedian on this podcast. It's different. Fighters, there's a lot of guys that just aren't funny. There's not a funny bone in their body. They're not trying to be funny. They're not trying to fucking bust balls. They're serious. They were in the military. They wrestled. They woke up at 4 a.m. every day. They are fucking stern. they're not in this world. So it's kind of interesting.
Jesus Christ. When you put it like that, they sound like real miserable bastards. No wonder they're not funny. Jesus Christ, it sounds like they've got nothing to laugh at.
Well, I think about how many fighters you know that that's not, you wouldn't make a joke about them, they'd be like, what the fuck is that? Like, they don't have that type of thing, you know?
I'd be embarrassed if he did that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So, that's kind of like with Paige. I'm assuming she's got a pretty thick skin. We don't say anything that crazy, but this thing is cringy as fuck, dude. She posts on Instagram.
Go ahead.
Pull up the Instagram post. She posts a picture of the headline, which the headline says Paige VanZant's husband, Austin Vanderford, dominates at Bellator 225, hashtag Bellator, which already in the headline saying Paige VanZant's husband is so emasculating.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, for one, straight away, I mean, it's not Paige's fault, you know, but still, if I'm Austin Vanderford, I mean, to be honest, it doesn't roll off the tongue as well as or as easy as Paige VanZant. Yeah. What's wrong with just using my name? Don't have to have Paige VanZant's husband, Austin Vanderford. Just have Austin Vanderford. And then maybe at some point, or as you may be familiar with, is married to UFC star Paige VanZant. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, it's just emasculating, and I get it. Look, if you're writing the article, I know why they do it. They want somebody to click on the fucking article. Who the fuck's clicking on Austin Vanderford? Who the fuck is Austin Vanderford? I've said this guy's name a dozen times, and I don't remember his name.
Whoa. Have you seen his neck tattoo, bro?
What does it say? Does it say Mr. VanZant?
No, I mean, no. The guy has sick art. He has sick ink. No, not on that tattoo. It's on the back. It's on the front of his face. Mm. You got to go to his Instagram page. You got to see it. I only know this because I follow Paige. And on the front, on his neck, he has a giant eye. It's an eye here on his neck. And then loads of stuff. It's quite possibly the worst tattoo you will ever see in your life. And I'm sorry, Austin. He's a lovely guy. He competed on the Contender Series. There it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Look at that. What is that?
His neck looks like the back of a dollar bill. I don't like it. PVZ.
Nice guy, though. Very good fighter. Wrestled well. And by all accounts, had a great win at the weekend.
So, yeah, great win on the weekend. Bellator. Good for him. But then Paige VanZant goes and posts, which it just reeks of insecurity, which he wrote. She goes, no, his fucking name, but she put all asterisks in fucking because she can't curse, which is very silly to me. It's like, Paige, you're allowed to curse on Instagram. Nobody's gonna care. And also, we know what you're writing, so it's not like what is the point of putting the stars? I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. Either curse or don't curse. And then she wrote, Mr. and Mrs. Vanderford are taking fucking over. And she wrote that obviously because everyone keeps on referring to him as her husband. And it's awesome for her to do that. But I don't think if I was him, I'd still be like, babe, just don't even fucking post anything. Leave me alone. Yeah. Right.
I got this. Okay. In this world where men shouldn't be emasculating, shouldn't be, you know, dominating the women's space. Listen, this is one fucking space. Let me do this. Let me have my own back. I got this. Okay. I'm in the octagon. I'm kicking ass. I'm the guy with a fucking sick neck tattoo of an eyeball on my neck. Okay. People are going to take me serious. Okay. Stop talking for me. Do not fight my battles.
Yeah. That's the thing where it's like, and I understand, but it's sort of transparent. I go, like, yes, Paige.
Hold up. Yeah, but look at it from her perspective. You know, like we're trying to find the bad. We're trying to find the negative in it. Well, you are. How about this? She's just proud of her husband. How about that? It's probably just that. Friday night, her husband goes out there, puts on a good performance, beats the guy up, dominates him from start to finish. And she's like, wow, my husband's awesome. I love him dearly. I love his neck tattoo. I love everything about him. And I want the world to recognize that Mr. and Mrs. Vanderford are taking over. How about that? She just got excited and she wanted to share to her millions of Instagram followers that she loves her husband dearly and that they are, in fact, taking fucking over.
He really did get a lot of Instagram followers very recently, too, because I remember when they first started announcing him being around, he had very few. So look at that.
I love the way that sometimes when you totally disagree with what I say, you just ignore it and just move on. It's fucking hilarious. It does make me laugh.
No, I mean, she's obviously proud of her husband, but she's also trying to, I don't know, man. It's just like when your girlfriend defends you. Imagine you're out at a bar fight and then your girlfriend starts talking shit to the guy. You're like, babe, just fucking leave me alone.
Shut the fuck up right now. Seriously. No, it's like, hey, I got this, okay? Zip.
I don't need you to make a decision right now. Let me handle me being a man the way that I decide that I want to be a man.
You are making me look fucking ridiculous right now, okay? And the worst thing now is now that I'm arguing with my wife in front of this dickhead. I'm trying to handle this dickhead by myself. I'm doing a very good job. I don't need you to jump in. And now the fact that we're arguing, look at him. He's over there laughing. He is loving every second of this. Butt out. Mind your own business.
Yeah, if you're a female listening to this show and your man is ever in a thing with another dude, number one, shut up. Say nothing. Say nothing. Don't get in. Don't start talking shit. Don't start telling me to leave. Don't pull me away and start calling me an idiot. What you need to do is you need to get in the car and just go away. Because two things are going to happen right now. We can get into a fight and I can kick his ass, or he can kick my ass. Either way, you don't really need to see that. Okay. Or maybe I decide that I don't want to fight. Maybe I decide I want to be a pussy for once. Maybe I look at this guy and I'm like, this guy's going to fucking destroy me. But now I can't make a real decision based off of me wanting to survive because I have to fucking be all fucking macho and bravado in front of you. Just always leave, ladies. You're not helping the situation ever by being there.
Well, the thing is as well, I think two guys are, I mean, listen, as we know, fights do happen. They are a real thing. But in this day and age, you know, certainly less and less times have changed. But I think if two guys are having an argument, and let's say they're not going to get into a fight, but they're arguing, they're heated, they're raising their voices, but, you know, they're civilized. They know how to behave. They're just having an argument, right? Let them hash it out. If a woman dives in, right, it's going to escalate it even further because that is going to push the one guy, the guy that is the partner of the woman, it's going to raise his temper so much more. It's like if there's two women having an argument, okay? Like my wife's arguing with a girl, I'm staying out of that all day fucking long, okay?
It's like, I'm hoping they start rolling around and some titties come out. I got my camera ready and I'm just going to watch it. Nobody's going to get hurt. They're girls, whatever.
They're
fine,
okay? They're arguing over which shade of lipstick they should use. You know what I mean? Are you wearing long or short dresses today? No, but we wore short yesterday. We should wear long. We got to coincide. You know, this is tittle-tattle like this. I am not getting involved in those arguments at all.
Exactly. I agree. Mike, we got a couple more minutes here. I want to get a couple questions before we wrap this show up. Is that all right? You got time?
Yeah. No, I do. I got plenty of time. Let's hold on. Wasn't there? Hold on. Yeah, do my podcast. So I just text someone. Was there anything else on there? No. Here's what I wanted to talk about real quick. Staying on that Bellator theme for a second, Paige VanZant's husband, and congrats, as you know, we're having fun. Congrats to Paige's husband. I see I'm doing it as well. I'm calling him Paige's husband. Congrats to Austin Vanderford. But there was another fight on there as well. Nick Newell, is it? What's his name?
Yeah, Nick Newell, one-arm fighter, been around for a very, very long time. I think he had a war with Justin Gaethje back in the day, right? That's like a famous...
Yes.
Justin Gaethje's one of his big fights out of the UFC. Nick Newell's been around for a little bit. We've touched on him in the past. But overall, for all intents and purposes, pretty fucking badass dude, man. Getting into the cage with one arm. You know, Michael, you wouldn't know anything about adversity like that. This guy,
Well, let's keep it on Nick Newell for a moment. I mean, listen, I got to say, Nick Newell came to the Contender Series last year. I think he didn't win his fight, which was a shame. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, anybody to step in there and fight commands my respect straight away. For anybody to step in there with a disability, whereas that people have two of something, but you only have one. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane. And for him to be going in there with one hand and then, you know, two-thirds of an arm, really, isn't it? It's not just one hand. He has two-thirds of an arm with a stub. Is it his left or his right arm? I'm not sure which one it is. Oh, it's his left. It's his left. I mean, no, listen, we're not going to make too many jokes. No doubt they are coming in a minute. I mean, but look at this performance. He looks great. Spinning back fist, excellent wrestling. He won the fight via submission, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was a head and arm choke or a rear naked choke, whatever it was. He got a choke. It's just incredible, Lewis.
Yeah, I agree. And there really aren't much jokes to be made. I mean, you know, it's fucking badass. It's more badass than people that go in that have all of their limbs. And the fact that he's sitting there literally throwing punches with the nub. Well, I got to be honest with you. That would be a little bit terrifying. He starts trying to hit you with that nub. I'm like, all right, I tap, please.
I want a glove on the nub. On the nub. Okay, stick a glove on the nub. Okay? I don't care what it is. A bit of bubble wrap. You do take a bit of bubble wrap over the nub.
You take a microphone cover, the foam cover you put on a microphone, and you put that on the end of his nub, and that's what he gets to hit you with.
It needs a protection on the end of that nub, you know, because, you know, that's going to hurt. You know, when he came on the contender last year, I was commentating and I said a little comment that wasn't, it didn't go down too well. And the comment was, you know, listen, he's only got one hand. Whichever way you slice it is a bit of a disadvantage. And production team were like, don't say that. And I'm like, well, hold on a minute. I mean, he does have one hand. And that is a disadvantage. What, are we just going to ignore the fact that he has one hand and commentate it as normal?
Yeah, elephant in the room.
Yeah, elephant in the room. I'm sorry to point this out, everybody, but having one hand is a fucking disadvantage. I don't care how good you are. You could be the best person ever, and by all accounts, I'm sure he really is, because he's doing well in his MMA career. But to have one hand when your opponent has two, that's a disadvantage.
Yeah, got to mention it. I can't just ignore the fact that this is going on in the octagon and we're not going to say anything about it. It kind of reminds me when Rogan back in the day, whoever it was two guys fighting. It was a black guy and a white guy. And it was like one guy was wearing like black shorts with a gray trim. The other guy was wearing gray shorts with a black trim. And they kept on just going back and forth and saying this. And Rogan at one point was like,
one was white and one was African-American.
Yeah, Rogan was like, why can't we just say the black guy and the white guy? And he said it on the broadcast.
Said it on air. Yeah, because I've said that many times. I'm like, Jesus Christ, just say the black guy and the white guy. You know what I mean? I guess it's not politically correct, which I get. You know, some people might be offended by that. But you're right. It's absolutely true. You know what I want to know, though? And I'm serious. I'm serious with this. What is the law, you know, the commission rules in being allowed to fight? Because in true narcissistic fashion, I have to bring it back to me. But when I was fighting towards the end of my career, the amount of stress that I went through, and you can read all about it in Quitters Never Win, which is still on sale. The paperback gets released soon. A massive part of the stress for me was getting past the commission. You know what I mean? Because obviously each commission, they have different rules. They check your eyes. And if you think there's a problem, they won't let you fight with one eye, right? Mm. But you can go in there and fight with one hand. I mean, surely that is a fucking disadvantage. But if you can fight with one hand, then why can't you fight with one eye?
Yeah, I agree. I would feel like if I had to pick one to get rid of, like if I was going to say one is going to be a bigger disadvantage for fighting.
One hand or one eye?
I think I would rather have both of my fists for this fist fight. I would, instead of having half of my fists for this fist fight, I think I would go with it. But I mean, honestly, what do you think? What would be more of a disadvantage? Tying one of your hands behind your back and fighting like that, or fucking not being able to see it in one eye?
Or tying both of my hands in front of my back.
Not in front. Not in front. That's not fair. You tie them in front doesn't do anything. It's not a it's literally not an advantage for me. You can just beat me up like that. I forfeit that fight. I will not take that fight.
No. But when I look at it, that is what I think. That is where my mind goes to every time, because the amount of stress that I went through, right? And I'll even tell you, sometimes, and this is in the book, because you got to have 2200 vision to pass the test, right, with the commissions, which is technically legally blind, clinically blind, 2200 vision. And sometimes my vision was, and sometimes it wasn't, you know. And I go and do my test, but then sometimes, I mean, my good eye, or should I say my bad eye, just like my brain wiped it out completely. Otherwise, your brain sees two images. So rather than seeing two messed up images, your brain just cuts off what the bad eye is seeing. So you only see one image. Otherwise, you're going to have two. Your brain's going to see two images that don't, you know, compute. And it just gives you headaches and makes it very confusing. So I would see through one eye, you know, and then I would be terrified seeing commissions, because I thought, shit, you know, if they don't agree with what the other doctor said and all the rest of it, I might do all this training camp, fly all my cornermen to the other side of the world, work my ass off, spend money on flights, hotels, all the rest of it, and then come fight time, not be allowed to fight because some doctor says my eye isn't right. So I was always terrified, and the stress was very, very high. But here you got Nick Newell. And by the way, I'm not raining on his parade. I'm saying more power to him. Good for him. But it's always curious when he steps in there with one fucking hand and they have no issue with it. Now, I'm not saying that they should have an issue with it. I'm saying good for him. And I think that what Nick Newell's doing is really inspirational, certainly to a lot of people that have issues. You know, they have disabilities. You know, I mean, Jesus Christ, to see somebody like Nick Newell in the octagon, in the toughest sport in the world, and winning. Let's remember that. And fucking winning against good opponents, I think is incredible. Absolutely fantastic.
I agree. And it is weird that there's an issue, or there isn't an issue with the commissions. And I agree. I don't think there should be. I think if two men decide to get into a physical thing like this, and, you know, they can defend themselves, and he very obviously can. He's 16-2. Okay, it's not like...
That's a hell of a record.
I mean, Jesus Christ, dude. I mean, you know, 16-2, now making his Bellator debut. You know, he's a guy who's been around for a little while, but you got to give him a ton of respect for that. And it's a super, super inspirational. I love the story. I love the fact that he's doing this. I'd like to see him fight in the UFC one day.
Me too. I mean, the thing is, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of children are born with birth defects and things like that. And could you imagine... I see these images online and they're really sad, and I always like to scroll past, right? You know what I mean? Because unfortunately I can't change anything. I mean, everybody does it on social media, on Facebook. There's a lot of it on Facebook, more on Facebook than Instagram. On Facebook, you get all these these messages that pull at your heartstrings and they want you to donate money and all the rest of it. Fucking animal shelters and all that type of stuff. I just scroll right past. It's a fuck off. You know what I mean? There's people that need real help in the world. I'm not fucking donating to the Hamster Institute for homeless hamsters, okay, on the East Coast of fucking America. Okay, I'm not donating to that.
Every time somebody posts one of those things, I drink out of another plastic straw. That's their punishment.
Yeah.
I would rather turtles go extinct than drink out of paper straws. Right now.
No, you wouldn't. Don't say that.
I swear to God. Turtles. I swear to God. When's the last time you saw a turtle did anything for you? They're turtles.
I was in Hawaii. We were on stand-up paddle boards. There's a turtle. There's a turtle in the ocean. The glee, the look of surprise and glee and amazement. And it just captured the imagination of young Lucas Bisping on said paddleboard, standing there. And he was like, yeah, that's cool, Dad. Lasted for a split second, the little shit. I'm like, there's a fucking turtle in the ocean. Look. And he saw it. He's like, yeah, that's cool.
He's like, yeah, Dad, yeah. That's where they live. Fucking weirdo.
Yeah. They're supposed to be. In fact, that fucking turtle, if you're listening to this, you know, if you're going to go turtling around the Four Seasons where there's a lot of tourists, you're going to do more than pop your head out for 2 seconds.
Yeah,
because
turtle.
If you don't look at that turtle right then and there, you're not going to see it. You're going to spend 20 minutes looking for the turtle that's disappeared. Those fuckers can hold their breath for a long time, okay? Shame on the fucking turtles.
Shame on the turtles. Fuck turtles. Guys, that's it. I'm going on an anti-turtle, pro-plastic straw campaign. And you know the picture of the turtle with the plastic straw stuck in his nose? You know that video?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just
it's very sad.
So disturbing. They pull it out and his eyes just like
it's bad.
It's a brutal one.
Anyway, so no, but when you see, you know, unfortunately, children with birth defects and things like that, could you imagine, you know, unfortunately, a young child that has one arm, one leg, whatever, whatever the condition is, and then to see they're flicking through the TV at night and they happen to stumble across Bellator and they see Nick Newell in there, in the octagon, fighting with one hand and winning fights, right, on TV. I just think that is so inspirational for somebody like that to see, and we just give them hope. It'll just give them fucking hope that, hold on a minute, you know, yes, I'm disadvantaged, I'm disabled, and, you know, I wasn't dealt a fair hand in life, shall we say?
Oh, come on,
look at
man.
This guy.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Go out there. What?
A fair hand. The jokes never stop with Michael Bisping. They never end.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I didn't even know I said that. Jesus Christ. Oh, right. God. Yeah.
Let's up. We got to wrap this one. We'll do questions.
Let me finish that point. Okay. That will really inspire people, okay? Don't come in with a bad job. I'm trying to be nice, heartfelt, inspirational to the kids. You know what I mean? You can achieve your dreams, kids. Yeah, one arm, two arms, three arms. In fact, if you got three arms, fucking hell, the world's your oyster.
Then you should get into fighting. That's some crazy shit. You just grab both of his hands, start punching him in the face with your third arm.
Fucking douse him all over the place.
Yeah, or Goro. Right, okay. Remember Goro had four arms from...
Oh, that's right. Mortal Kombat.
That's the move. Yeah, you got forearms? Yeah, get into MMA. It's the best possible scenario. All right, we got to wrap.
But what would be the ruling? You know, so like you can fight with one arm. If you're born with three, which I'm sure some people are, would they be allowed? Would they be allowed?
Can you actually be born with three arms, like a third functional arm? No.
People have been born with two heads.
Yeah, but that's two people. You know?
Having a fun discussion.
This is silly. This is fun. Why not?
It's silly. All right, let's do some questions.
No, we can't. I can't. I got to go. I literally have to leave.
Oh, well, that's fair enough. Oh, that's why you keep trying to go. No problem. No problem. All right. Well, we'll do another show later in the week. Thanks for listening. A bit of a slow news week this week. So we'll give you updates on the week on the second show live from China. Thanks for listening. Much respect. And have a good one. Thanks for listening.
All right. Peace.